Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I want to read to you a section of Scripture from the book of Exodus, second book of the Bible. If you're not familiar with the Bible, if you go all the way to the left end, you page through to the second book, you'll find Exodus, and it's chapter 37. All right? Now, I said page through as if you have a physical Bible. I know many of you use a device. But I want you to know that there are Bibles under the chairs, many of the chairs in front of you. And you can use that. In fact, if you don't have a Bible, that one under the seat in front of you, I want you to know that you can take it with you. You can write your name in it, and you take it and make it your own, okay? We don't have Bible-stealing scanners at the doors, okay? We don't have any of that. I know, Joe. You shake your head like, where's he come up with this stuff? I don't know. Because that's me. I'll take credit for it. I'm not going to blame the Lord for it, but yeah. So Exodus 37. I want to read this. Bezalel made the ark of Ikea wood. Now, he's talking about building the Ark of the Covenant. If you don't have any biblical history, that's okay. You'll catch on, and you can go back and read and study or talk to somebody else here in the church, and they can kind of tell you that the Ark of the Covenant, it held three significant things, and it was, you'll find out that this has to do with God's people who built it. This man built it, and it had to do with remembering and marking a symbolic way a physical presence of God. And so let me just read this to you. Bezalel made the ark of Ikea wood. 2 cubits and a half was its length, and 1.5 cubits its breadth, and 1.5 cubits its height. And he overlaid it with pure gold inside and outside, and made a molding of gold around it. And he cast for it 4 rings, gold for its 4 feet, 2 rings on its one side and 2 rings on its other side. If you can't keep track of all this and what it looks like, you can find a picture of it online somewhere, or you can just go back and read it slowly and see how this looks. In fact, some of your study Bibles might have a picture in it. And he made poles of Ikea wood and overlaid them with gold and put the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark to carry the ark. And he made a mercy seat of pure gold. 2.5 cubits was its length and 1.5 cubits its breadth. And he made 2 cherubim of gold. He made them of hammered work on the 2 ends of the mercy seat. 1 cherub on the one end and 1 cherub on the other end. 1 piece of with the mercy seat, he had made the cherubims on its 2 ends. The cherubims spread out their wings above, overshadowing the mercy seat with their wings, with their faces one to another toward the mercy seat were the faces of the cherubim. And then it goes on, and I'm not going to continue to read all of this. You can read it on your own if you'd like. The same man begins to build a table in which it goes upon, and makes a lampstand, and he makes the altar of incense, and it goes on. So, I just want to talk to you a little bit about this article of that he has built. And there's significance in it today for you and I, and we'll get to that point. Because this is historical. It's an account, it's history, it is part of Jewish history, part of God's history, and how he communicated with his people. And so the ark symbolized God's, this is very important you catch this, it symbolizes this ark of the physical presence of God among people and also to the world at that time. The physical presence of God. Now, God wasn't literally in the box, okay? I mean, how do you contain God who can created all that there is in creation and everything else that goes on? Okay, but this represented his physical presence in the world. And the significance of that, from time to time, his actual presence would manifest. Have you ever heard the term Shekinah glory? It was like the physical presence of God. It would show up in a way that would be like a cloud, okay? And it would hover over and cover the mercy seat, okay, part of this. And I know there's some things here that you may not track or know what they mean, and I don't want to go into all of that this morning. But he would come and his presence would show up, okay? And it's a place where he would meet with his people and he would speak to them. Turn to somebody near you and say, you know, God wants to speak to you. Yeah, he wants to speak to you. See, the focal point of this Ark of the Covenant, if I can condense it, and it's more magnificent in many other facets, but the focal point of the Ark of the Covenant is that it has to do with God's presence and his interaction with people. God is interested in you. At times, the Jews would carry this Ark of the Covenant. They would put the poles through the rings because there was a specific way to transport the Ark of the Covenant. We see where that was transported once inappropriately, and a man reached out and touched it, and he immediately died. There's an appropriate way to handle the presence of God and the things that are sacred to him. So they would take and transport this ark sometimes, it would be from place to place, but they sometimes would transport this to a battleground, where they're facing armies or an army in opposition, enemies of God, and they would take this ark into the battleground and it would lay waste to armies, to cities that they would conquer. Now, here was a little bit of a problem because when they began to see what God would do and the transporting of this Ark of the Covenant, there's a temptation with humanity that we find something that works and now we presume upon it. And they began to presume upon the Ark of the Covenant sometimes going into battles as if it is a rabbit's foot or a good luck charm or, you know, if we just bring this, we're guaranteed victory. And I want you to know that wasn't the case. There were times where the Ark of the Covenant was stolen because they lost, because they presumed upon it, and yet they lost relationship with God and did not honor him. And yet they wanted to use the Ark of the Covenant in his presence as if it would just always bring victory. You and I better make sure we don't presume upon the things of God and lose relationship and lose the holiness and the honoring of him. And we presume upon the things in the Christian life and even the Spirit himself, that we presume upon it and move ahead, and we've lost the connection and relationship. And that's what happens at times. They lost the connection, a relationship with God, and yet they tried to use the blessings of God as if it was an automatic deal to work on their behalf, and that's just the way it is. So, many times when they faced other armies, the armies would bring in their idols, their demonic idols that they fashioned, that their pagan ways, they'd bring them in as if that was going to bring victory. And so God's people had the Ark of the Covenant, the thing that represented the presence of God. And I want you to know that when you and I face battles, we should carry the presence of God with us, not presume upon it. If we've lost connection with him and we think, well, God will never leave me or forsake me, that's what the scripture says, and so I'm just going to presume upon God and go do my own thing and just expect him to bless it. I want you to know it's not the way it works. We have to maintain that relationship and that honoring him and communicating with him. His spirit and his word are not rabbit's feet. It's not a good luck charm. This is the almighty word of God that brings life. So I read this about the ark in chapter 37. You think, well, why would you really read this? I want you to think about this. Why would God inspire a man to go to all that trouble and detail and labor and detail and the time? Why would he have a man do that? How much God had went through and inspired this man, what he had to go through to make this sacred ark. Here's the part for you and I, not to just know history. How much time and trouble has the Holy Spirit and God gone through to fashion you and me, who were designed to be the physical presence of God on the earth? Not the Ark of the Covenant anymore. But he has taken time. He didn't ask a man to do it other than the fullness of Jesus to fashion you and I to be his physical presence in this world. See, that's the church, not the building. I mean, it has physical presence, and if you have a cross on it and people drive by it, there's this physical reminder or presence. But the building itself, for the most part, isn't going to reach anybody. Because they could come in this building and not meet God. Unless the people who God is working over and fashioning and going to great detail to be the actual physical presence of God in this world. The ones who he will put his and has and makes available to put his actual spirit in you. That he could manifest through your life his character and virtue. Why would they haul the Ark of the Covenant into battle? Yeah, they wanted victory, but when they were in tune with God and kept relations with God and honored God and didn't presume upon it, it showed this. It showed the rest of the world and other cities and other towns and other kings and other kingdoms and other armies that there is one true, almighty, and powerful God. And their demonic idols cannot stand up against him. You and I are to have that presence of God in us. Then when we don't presume upon, well, I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit, well, therefore I'm just good to go. But that we keep relationship with him and we walk in this world, that you and I are the physical representation that God begins to manifest and interact with people. Like the Ark of the Covenant. A physical representation of the presence of God. And a place where he would talk with people. And an Ark of the Covenant would be shown to the world that there is a God. One who reigns supreme over all. The detail that and trouble that he has gone to fashion you and I with greater detail than the Ark of the Covenant, that you have been made and he has drawn you to come to faith in him, that you would be the representation of God here on earth. Why? To please him, yes. But that through you and through others who believe, that there is an interaction with other humanity to show that there is one true God. So that they would, too, have the opportunity to think, wait a minute, maybe I need to put faith in God and his Son and his Holy Spirit that brings salvation to me. Then now he begins to fashion me to look like him. The Holy Spirit takes the place, so to speak, of Bezalel, who built the Ark of the Covenant and other articles. You know, you can look in places like John 14 where Jesus says the Holy Spirit, you know, he comes and he comes to dwell in you and he comes to help you. Romans chapter 8 where the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer is the branding mark that they belong to Christ. Something different because of the Holy Spirit's work in them, fashioning them, building them, refining them, overlaying them with his Spirit like pure gold. Galatians 5, right? 22 and 23 talks about the fruits of the Spirit, that those who believe in God, the Holy Spirit indwells. He begins to bear fruit and bring forth fruit that is not natural for you and I. He contends with our way and our flesh, but the Holy Spirit comes in the life of the believer and begins to produce things like the character and virtue of God. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. See, that's what the Holy Spirit does that brings about the physical presence of God into this world, that others would see those virtues that they just don't find everywhere and they just don't find in all people. But those virtues that the Holy Spirit is fashioning you, he's still doing it. How many of you have love mastered? Okay, let's make it easier. How many of you have patience mastered? How many of you have gentleness mastered? See, we can go through the list. But that's what the world needs to see in you and in me. It's what our family needs to see in us, our friends, our co-workers. You see, those are the things that conquer and bring victory. That's what brings victory. Because you're in the middle of something and people are watching, and all of a sudden the virtue of God comes out of you. That you don't complain and you don't murmur, but you speak words of faithfulness. You choose to continue to live according to the virtue and the nature of God rather than our own natural tendencies. And the world looks at that and goes, how can they go through that or respond like that? And then they discover a person of faith, a person that will interact with them, because they become, you become the physical presence of God on earth. See, he's interested in people. He's interested in you, and he's interested in other people. And he is fashioning you with greater detail and more work than even the man who built the Ark of the Covenant, who was supposed to be a symbolic representative of God and opportunities for God to manifest. And I want you to know that the Holy Spirit in the New Testament through Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit actually comes in and dwells us according to Scripture and helps us overcome ourselves to show that there is one true God and there is one Savior. And it's not just for heaven and eternity, but it's for this life too. And that he gets to manifest and show who he is through your life. What an awesome privilege. What an awesome even idea that he had. That I will put myself in people and no longer just come to a box. My physical representation is not of the materials of this world. It's humanity who believe and who follow. God is fashioning you. Is there any greater architect? Is there any other person that is creative? Any other person that's as powerful to do this through acts of mercy and grace in our life? For those of you in this room, if you were to even recall or remember who you were and what you were like before coming to faith in Jesus Christ, the transformation of who we were to where we are and still where he's fashioning us and what we're to be like. What a transformation. The wood, it was just a tree. Just a piece of wood. The gold, it was just rock and hard and in the earth. All of a sudden, he took that which was natural and fashioned it and made it something beautiful that became his physical presence in the world. You and I, we were fashioned in the womb and he saw us. And he sees our days. He sees your days. But for all intents and purposes, we were just wood and stone until he took hold of us. We were just flesh until he took hold of us and said, I'm going to put my spirit within you. And you will be my physical presence on the earth to show that I am God, that others would come to believe so that they would be saved. Because his will is that none should perish. Why don't you stand up with me, please? His will is that none should perish. But he leaves us with the choice. He works on us. He fashions us. He moves upon our heart. He gives us opportunity. But one thing he will not violate is he will not violate your will. He leaves you and I with the ability to choose. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you have the opportunity to choose. We're all faced with that choice. He loves you. He cares about you. He has a grace and mercy that is greater than our hang-ups, our past. He shed his blood, which was payment for our sins. And when I put my faith in Jesus Christ, now that blood is available to cleanse me from all my unrighteousness. To not stand under the judgment of God. And the beauty is that though I believe in him, I've still sinned after that. But the beauty is not that I sin again. The beauty is that that blood is still available and I have a relationship with him. And I know how to go back and get that fixed. And he keeps working with me. He keeps working on me. He keeps changing me. Some of you in this room that you've not put faith in Christ. But maybe today. Maybe you're going to go through a process of decision. It might take days. Maybe you've already decided. You're going to say, I need to put faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God in my life. I need my past washed away. I want him to fashion my life and change me. Help me overcome my natural tendencies that have been a result of my own flesh and ideas, or maybe my hurt and my pain from the past. And you and I try to figure out a way to cope and the attitude to develop. And frankly, it's generally not the attitude of God or who He is. And He can heal us and change us. For some of you who are believers, feel like, well, Christ is my Savior. I believe in Him. But He's not done fashioning you. Don't grow comfortable with the level that He has transformed you and stop there. He's not done. He is faithful to complete it till the day of Jesus Christ, Scripture says. So this is what I'd like you to do. Before we leave, there's no sense preaching the truth of God's word if it doesn't confront all of us to say, okay, is He speaking to me? And do I need to make a decision about something?
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.